All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 today. And Matthew chapter 3. I thank God for the opportunity just to sit at the feet of Christ as you hear the different men who preach and really learn a lot. Even for myself, okay, we should never stop learning, amen, as a Christian. Everyone that stands up here speaks the word of God. It's God's word that speaks. We thank God for the servants who are willing to be allow God to use. By Matthew chapter 3, we'll be reading from verse 13 to 17. Let's stand, all right, as we read God's word. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. I'll read verse 13, you read verse 14. And then after that, we'll pray, okay? Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 reads, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." Verse 14. Verse 15 is a very important verse. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him," or allowed him. Verse 16. Let's read verse 17 together. "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning, Lord, our attitudes and our heart, when you look down from heaven, you will say, "This is my beloved congregation, in whom I am well pleased." Father, we want to live to honor you. And we pray, even today, Lord, in our listening of your precious word, that you will touch our hearts. And we will obey you, Lord, in what thy word is teaching us, so that we can please you. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for visitors. Help them to understand the scriptures, as only the Holy Spirit can make them understand. And for the rest of us, help us to understand your word, that it might be light to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Before I go on, I just want to acknowledge Brother Maloney's mom, Choinia. Chona. How long will we be here, man? 1 week. 1 week. Oh, too short. No, but thank God that I can be with the son. So we welcome you and hope that God will bless you as well. All right. Okay. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17, one of the things that the Lord has been impressing on my heart is actually just to take God's word and to read it really distinctly in Ezra, the book of Ezra, chapter 7, Nehemiah. Don't have to turn there. It's just my own. God has been speaking to me about being distinct, give the sense, and also explain clearly what the word of God tells us to do. Okay? So in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 and 17, a very familiar passage, the baptism of John is a baptism of repentance. Okay? It's a baptism of repentance. People who want to receive the light of God in their lives gets baptized as a sign that they have repented. And this is an important understanding of John's baptism. These people already have a mind that they are going to repent, so it's called a baptism of repentance. They've already repented, to show their repentance, it's called a baptism of repentance. Okay? God sent John as the forerunner for Christ, and he was baptizing when Jesus came to him. When the Lord Jesus was baptized, interestingly, the heaven opened and God spake in verse 17. "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." May I stop there and say, if our Lord Jesus Christ got baptized, we should follow his example. Amen. Okay, there are some people I've known, and I speak to some people who say, "No, I don't want to be baptized, you know what?" And because if I get baptized, it's something I don't want to do. There was one particular young person who said, "Brother Johnny, I want to get baptized." Okay, I said, okay, she's primary 6, going to secondary 1. And knowing his background, so okay, we'll talk about it when you hit sec 1. Okay, when you hit sec 1, he's still coming to church. On the first week of the first year, the sec 1 year, he came to me, "Brother Johnny, I don't want to be baptized." I said, "Why? Oh, you wanted? We can continue, you know. I follow you up for me a few months. Now, basically, the few months is actually to look at his regularity. So, but he said, no, I don't baptize. Why? I don't have time. No, I baptize 5 minutes only, what? Right? Go there, I put you in, put you out, finish. He said, no, I've got no time. Just 5 minutes only. But what he was saying, that Rajani, I have no time to be committed to Christ. And it's true. That was 5 years ago. And now he's no longer in church. He's just doing what he wants. Okay? So, if the Lord Jesus Christ gets baptized, you know what? We who call ourselves Christians need to take that step too. Okay? May I say, verse 1, based on Matthew 3:17, lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. May I say, God sees all we do. God sees everything that we do. And He makes a judgment on whether it is good or it's not pleasing to Him. Because this is what happened here. When Jesus was baptized, He came out, the Holy Spirit came, and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God, the Father's, when He sees what is happening, responds. He's pleased when He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is an example for us. I was discussing this with one of my children yesterday. And then I said this. The Lord Jesus Christ got baptized. Jesus is an example for us. But you realize one thing. When you read the Gospels, yes, we can take Jesus as an example. But Jesus' aim is not just to be an example to us. That's a secondary aim. Jesus' primary aim is to please the Father. Does that make sense? And that becomes an example for us as Christians to actually understand, okay, it's an example for us to please the Father. So what do? To please the Father. That's what we want to learn today. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 8, verse 29, you can read in your bulletin. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Why? For I do always those things that please Him. The Father had not left me alone. Why? Because I do always those things that please Him. Always means on a continual basis without intermission. In other words, every thought, everything that He do is always to please God. Always. Today we learn in Sunday school, we seek God's will in every small thing, even what you eat and drink, we have to do to glorify God. And the Lord Jesus Christ says here, I do always those things that please Him. Christian, is this an example or is this a testimony of a life where we do everything to please God? Why was God the Father pleased with Him? Looking at these five verses, I want to understand the main thing that pleased the Father here. Okay? It's very important because this is an attitude we must have to please God our Father. Why was God the Father pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ? God the Father was pleased with Him because of His humble submission to the Father's will. It's just His humble submission to the Father's will. Humble submission to God the Father's will. The Bible tells us that the last days will be characterized. I'll just read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. If you want to turn there, you can. But in 2 Timothy 3 verse 2, the last days will be characterized by men who shall be lovers of their own selves. Youth, which is the one of the three, lovers of their own self is narcissism, okay? Men shall be lovers of their own self. They will be covetous. They will be boasters. They will be proud. They will be blasphemers. They will be disobedient to parents. And they will be unthankful. And they will be unholy. This characterizes the last day. They love themselves more. They boast of themselves. They want things for themselves. They are proud of themselves. They blaspheme the word of God. And they blaspheme things. There was one time I was in the army it was a happy hour in the army. Sometimes they have happy hour, they drink. And so this OC of mine, this officer in charge, he said, hey, Tan, Johnny, Tan, drink. You know, say, sorry, sir, with due respect, I don't drink. And then he did this. You know, he did this and this. Left it. Blasphemous. Blasphemous. Disobedient to parents. Children, if you don't want to be characterized by that, please obey your parents. Okay, after we talk about that, unthankful. Unthankful. People who are ungrateful. And people who are unholy. This will happen in the last days. Proverbs 13 verse 10 says, only by pride come up contention. There's a lot of fighting in this world. There's a lot of fighting in families. There's fighting sometimes in churches. There's a lot of fighting because of pride. Recognize that the Lord Jesus... Let's go back again to what Jesus did. I just give you a background there of pride and things happening. But coming back to Matthew 3, I want us to recognize one thing. Question is, did the Lord Jesus Christ need to be baptized? Did the Lord Jesus Christ actually need to be baptized? Yes or no? It can be two camps depending on how you look at it. But generally, he as God, does he need to be baptized? Does he need to repent? No. Question is, why? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ, humbly submitted himself to the baptism of repentance? There's a key thought here. It's very important. Because he said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. I paraphrase that. He's telling John the Baptist, allow this to be so, because it is a good thing that we do what is necessary to fulfill what is right. Remember when he came to John the Baptist? John the Baptist immediately recognized it with spirit-filled eyes and said, look, I have needs to be baptized of you. Lord, please, I cannot baptize you. I know who you are. You come to me to be baptized? No way. But then Jesus says, allow it to be so now. Allow it to be so now. And then, in the paraphrase I told you, allow it to be so because it is a good thing that we do what is necessary to fulfill what is right. Okay? Let me explain. Baptism was not, if you read the Old Testament, baptism was not a necessary act at all in the Old Testament law. You cannot find baptism in the Old Testament, agree? There is no water baptism in the Old Testament. It came because of John the Baptist. Baptism was never a necessary act for righteousness or salvation. It was never stipulated in the Old Testament. When John the Baptist came baptizing, it was the ministry specifically of the forerunner who was appointed by God to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. Within this ministry of John to prepare the way, is the baptism of repentance. In other words, in the ministry of John the Baptist, who is supposed to prepare the way for the Messiah, anyone who wants to follow the Messiah must go through the rite of baptism. Understand that? Alright, so based on the scriptures, you must do it. Okay? If you don't, what does that tell everyone? And I'm following the ministry of John. Okay? I'm not finished. So, it was a necessary act in order to be in line with the plan and the will of God during that time. Anyone wishing to be identified with the ministry of John the Baptist and the message thereof needs to be immersed. Okay, they need to be immersed. Now, although the Lord Jesus Christ was without sin, and this is an important truth for every believer to have because it's an attitude that God is pleased with. Although Jesus Christ was without sin, yet he submitted himself to the baptism because it identified him with the ministry of John the Baptist. Okay? Now, what is humble submission? What is humble submission? I was doing a study that humble submission, if you want to write down, you can write down, means a meek and lowly attitude and act of giving up personal power and authority to the control and government of another person. I say again, humble submission is the meek and lowly attitude and action, not just outside but inside as well, of giving up personal power and authority to the control and government of another person. Now, I want to understand one truth from Jesus' submission. He did not have to submit to John the Baptist. Why? Because he was the one who called John the Baptist, yes? Because John the Baptist was appointed by God to baptize. Jesus was God. But in the earthly ministry of John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus Christ humbly submitted himself to the control of John the Baptist and his ministry, and he got baptized. The truth we want us to learn is that according to God, based on this passage, the heavenly requirement for pleasing him is not merely doing what we think is necessary, but also be willing to be in submission to every principle or action proposed by men when it is good, necessary, helpful, and supportive of what is good and what is orderly. Does it make sense? The Lord Jesus Christ could easily have not submitted himself. No, I'm God. I don't have to be submitted. But yes, he can. But you know what? If that is the act, then he wouldn't have pleased the Father. Does it make sense? Is it not right, parents, that we want our children to obey us in everything? Of course, some know I want him to be independent. Yeah, independent thinkers, fine. But when you give an instruction, you expect it to be followed. Please make your bed. Please pick up the tissue. Because it contributes to the orderliness of the home. Is that not right? And then I was thinking, the Lord Jesus actually mentioned, later I'll touch a little bit more, but let me just read a few verses first. 1 Peter 2:13. Peter says, to the Jewish people who were under oppression by the Roman government and the Roman soldiers, Peter said this, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now, when Peter said that, he wasn't saying submit to your church leaders. He said that later. But he said, look, he's talking to emperors. He's talking to the Roman procurators, the Roman governors. If it's legal, if it's right, obey it. If you need to pay taxes, pay it. That's what Peter was saying. And you know what? When you obey, you're doing it for the Lord's sake. That means when the rule of man, listen carefully, this is important, when the rule of man does not contradict Scripture, God's will is for us to obey in humble submission to the obedience, to the ordinance stipulated. Example, all of us pay taxes, right? Do you know where your taxes go? Real casinos? And sometimes the money is not channeled in the proper way, but you know, what did Jesus say? It's rendered to Caesar, things are Caesar's. If the government says this, do it, because it's right. And this is interesting because look at Matthew chapter 3 again. You know what Jesus says? Okay, Jesus actually mentioned in verse 15, allow it to be so now. John the Baptist, you baptize me. That's fine. Allow it to be so now. Why? Because it becometh us. It is the right thing. It is the right thing that we do this to fulfill all righteousness. I was debating, is it only related to the spiritual things of church? Then I realized, okay, you know what Jesus is saying? Children, when you obey, listen, children, are you listening? When you obey your parents in the instruction God has given to your parents to rule over you, yes? And when the parent says, do this, and you do it, you're fulfilling God's righteousness. Does it make sense? Oh, that was a powerful principle that learned just from, which was why God was pleased with Jesus. That even though he did not have to do it, he willingly submitted himself to the baptism of John the Baptist. He didn't have to. Okay, let's go on. When we obey ordained authority, we are obeying God. That's what I believe the Lord wants to teach us from his life here. In Romans 13 verse 1, the Bible says, let everyone be submitted, subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. There's no authority form in this world except everyone comes from God. That's what he's saying here. The powers that be are ordained of God. That's what Paul says in verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. The word ordinance means when God the word ordinance means institution. Okay, in this situation, Paul was teaching the Roman Christians, submit yourself to your leaders. Because they are ordained by God. Huh? You sure? Yeah, the Roman emperor, submit to them. Okay, and Paul actually goes on to say, if you don't submit, you are resisting the institution of God. The word ordinance means institution. Okay? And they that receive shall receive to themselves condemnation. A simple example of this is, I appreciate the men on Friday nights when they come, they have to teach lead songs and all that. There was people who ask, must wear tie? Ah? Say, yeah, to preserve the sanctity of this. Okay, Lord. We just humbly submitted to that, to preserve the sanctity of this place. This is an important place. Not because I'm here, not because you are here, but because with this pulpit, the word of God is taught. And therefore, we need to dress appropriately as much as we can to represent the sanctity of the place. I was sharing with a man also, I used to think that it's okay to just wear jeans and all that until God convicted me. So I changed my dressing on Friday night. Okay, those who were earlier on, in Ambassador, I would come in jeans and t-shirt and maybe just a shirt just to be a bit semi-formal. Then I realized, hey, you are behind the pulpit. You need to represent God. Okay, and I'm thankful for the, based on the message there, a humble submission of people who would follow. You didn't have to. You know, in the world, it said, just come as you are, right? Right? Just come as you are. Just do what you want. You know, if it's inconvenient, never mind. Put it away. Not with God. If everyone just kept... I had a lecturer who came to school in his swimming trunks. You know, it was in Australia. It was, you know, would you go to school in your swimming trunks? And of course, he drove. You come in your car, but then as he walked in, I said, hi, Johnny. Hi, Lee. Three of us Singaporeans said, Lee, bye. He just went, of course, and then he went on to change before. We had lectures where, but the final lecture, they bring in champagne to celebrate the end of class. Are you allowed to do that here? We had, because it was this lecturer's birthday, maybe this lecture is very popular, because it was this lecturer's birthday, they brought in a stripper during class, stripper. And they wanted everyone to contribute money. I knew that. I said, sorry, I won't give. You know, and when the stripper came, we left class. Five of us Christians, we left class. It's okay, God, it's fun, in the name of fun. And I can tell you, a lot of institutions, a lot of places, a lot of things that used to be are being broken down because you know why? Things are convenient, you know? Don't need to do it, don't. We need to work smart. We need to, if it's not necessary, let's cut it out. Nothing wrong with that if it contributes to the overall orderly running. But you know, when it comes to things of God, things that God has ordained, we need to be very careful we don't take it out. Sometimes, yes, we talk about some of the principles. What does humble submission to God's will actually entail? Okay? But I want us to understand this. God was pleased in the obedience of His Son. Jesus, in this incident, as in all, our pattern and example, teaching us that we too must submit ourselves to do the Father's will. The last two sentences that I mentioned was not written by myself. I quoted it from commentators. All of the commentators believe, and the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall everything be established. The commentators are saying the reason why God the Father was pleased with Jesus was because of His obedience, His humble submission to what was necessary. Okay, remembering Jesus didn't have to, but He submitted Himself to. And He says, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, when we do something that in our minds we may not feel is necessary, but it does contribute to so-called the righteousness of the place, especially in the home. I think it's a good example. Mom and dad is the pastor of the home, the spiritual leader of the home. When dad gives an instruction, the entire entire household needs to be willing to follow. And do you realize if you do that, you are fulfilling righteousness? Does that make sense? It is so important for us to understand that. And Jesus gave us His own principle of, I need to please the Father, and I'll do it. And then He gave us an example. According to the scriptures, I want us to notice five things about this principle of humble submission from this event. Number one, humble submission. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, okay? Humble submission to God the Father's will may involve inconvenience. may involve inconvenience. What do I mean by that? The Bible says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. In order for Jesus to do this humble submission act of baptism, he had to go from Galilee to Jordan. Okay? Do you know how far that is? 40 kilometers. And they didn't have MRT during that time. Okay? They go on bus number 11. Huh? They just walk. Or best case scenario, they go by donkeys or mules. Okay? But generally, they walk. Okay? They walk. It took one day's journey to get from Galilee to Jordan. In other words, in order for them to be at Ambassador Baptist Church, 11 a.m. service on Sunday, he has to actually start yesterday, Saturday, 11 a.m., start walking. And their walk is not like Changi Airport to the end of Singapore, the other side. It's about 42 kilometers, if I'm not wrong. And for us, we can drive. 1 hour, we'll reach the end. But you know what? They got to walk. And the walking is not just straight road. It's not. They don't have a PIE. Okay? Everything is straight. They got to walk through mountains and valleys and stop for a while to rest and move on again. There was one time I did a foolish thing with my friend. We walked from Clementi to Changi Airport. It took us 8 hours. By the end, I sprained my ankle. Just by walking. Okay? And I didn't know I was... I better don't say this, but... Anyway, I walked on the expressway. So and it was tiring. Well, we finished it. By the time we were on the bus all the way home, you know. Why not Jesus walked one day to get to John the Baptist in order to be baptized of him? The Lord Jesus knew he had to submit to the ordinance of baptism, and he knew, and this is important, that the only person he can go to is John the Baptist. Why? Why? The only person that he could go to be baptized is John the Baptist. Why? Because the Bible says that God gave John the Baptist the authority to baptize. And Jesus is not supposed to go to any other person. Okay? So Jesus knew he had to go to that. Question for us, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to go through inconvenience to uphold the righteousness that God has ordained in the family, in the church? You know, even in your workplaces, there's certain standard operating procedures that facilitates the smooth running of the place. It may not be righteousness per se, as in God's righteousness, but you know what? If that is what the bosses have said, then our job is to follow. Of course, there's a place for discussion and all that, but ultimately the boss says, no, you still have to do this, then fine. We need to have a willing heart to obey that. That was what Jesus did. He had a meek and humble spirit in submission to the Father's will. You know, as we're thinking through, is it possible? You know, I'm going to say something which I think I just need to say. Sometimes Singaporean Christians have learned to be Sunday Christians. You want to have any meeting, just do it on Sunday, please. Because we're so busy. Yes, we are busy. But you know what? Is it possible that sometimes some things are better done on a weekday? It fulfills the orderliness and righteousness of the things that we want to accomplish. May Ambassador Baptist Church never slip into that mode of being a Sunday Christian. That we do our ministries only on Sundays. Okay? Now, I understand that we all have our jobs, and that is a given. That is your duty obligation to God. But we need to understand that some things are not just, I think, you know what, on that note, you know, you need to make time very much to come on Friday nights to pray together as a church. Things like this is very important. It fulfills the orderliness and righteousness of the local church. Because that's what God ordained in the New Testament Christian, for New Testament Christianity. Do you realize how often the early church met in the New Testament? How often did the New Testament meet in the New Testament church meet in the New Testament? The Bible says they met daily. Daily. For us, it might be a bit difficult because we have jobs, but you know what? You've got handphones, right? You can SMS each other. Some people may live together, may work together, they can meet for lunch, or maybe it's, I'm not saying that sometimes practically, culturally, you may not be able to do that, but you know what? In the spirit and principle of the Bible, we need to be able to encourage one another daily in some way. The early church were together. That's why you know how they grew by leaps and bounds, why they were together. Because sometimes humble submission to God, the Father's will, may involve inconvenience. doing what is right. I'm thankful for people who, and it's true, I think we talked about Sunday about no buying the condo that's nearer to the church, and it's a true statement. Sometimes those living closest to church are oftentimes late. May that never happen, otherwise God will send you somewhere else so that you practice you coming early. Okay? Because we need to understand that. We need to learn to be early in God's house. It fulfills righteousness. You know, there are times that if our visitors come and we are late, it doesn't give God, it doesn't fulfill the righteousness of honoring God. I hope we understand. It may mean that we just have to get up earlier. It may mean that we get telephone numbers for taxi. It may mean, I know it's hard sometimes, but you know what? Let's fulfill the righteousness. It will involve inconvenience, number one. Are we willing to have that attitude of humble submission, number one? Number two, humble submission to God the Father's will involves obedience to authority. In John the Baptist was God's anointed person to baptize, and therefore it was imperative for Jesus to only go to John the Baptist to be baptized. Listen to John chapter 1, verse 2. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In verse number 6. Okay? Then after we look at more specifically. John chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, let's read together, ready? 1, 2, go. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Okay, verse 8, he was not the light. John, this refers to John the Baptist. John was sent from God to bear witness of that light. Now, look at verse number 30 now. Sorry, verse 32, 33, I read, and John bear record, John the Baptist bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. The Bible says, he, God the Father, that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. When we read this, we'll just say, oh, he sent me. Do you realize when God the Father sends, he gives authority? And I was not any Tom, Dick, and Harry, Enzo, or Mary can baptize. Only John, because God appointed John the Baptist to baptize. God is very serious about his work. When God actually anoints and ordains, we have to follow what God's plan is. Does it make sense? And so John the Baptist was the only one. Okay? Read in Matthew, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, I read again, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Okay? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 25 to 27. I want us to look at Jesus' pattern. This is another example of Jesus saying it's actually not necessary, but let's do it because it's right. Okay? Matthew chapter 17, verse 25. He said yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented or stopped him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon, referring to Peter? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or strangers? Simon Peter said, of strangers. That simply means Jesus was asking, during that time, there were citizens and there were people who were not citizens, they were called strangers, okay? So the kings usually get custom and tribute from those people outside, not from their own citizens, okay? So that was the thinking during that time. And so when Jesus actually asked Peter, he wanted to make sure Peter knew this. So Peter said, oh, of course, of strangers. Then Jesus said, then are the children free? That means if you're a citizen, you don't have to pay taxes. Okay? Then in verse 27, notice what Jesus says. Notwithstanding, even though we don't have to pay, lest we should offend them, go down to the sea and cast. This is one of the most interesting miracles that Jesus gave in order to pay, in order to fulfill, okay, a very, very important act of righteousness. Okay? He actually did a miracle to pay for this tax. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go down to the sea, cast a hook, and take up the fish that cometh up, and when thou hast opened the mouth, you will find a piece of money, take it and give it unto them for me and thee. You know what Jesus was saying in the principle of giving? actually they don't have to give because they are in their own land. But in order not to offend them, you know, Jesus can actually say, no, we're not going to pay. Ken Hovind, one of them, is in prison now. All right? But he said, no, in order not to offend them, yes, this is our privilege of not paying taxes, but you know, there's a rule, let's just follow that. In principle, people who are born in the land don't have to pay taxes. Okay, according to this passage, Jesus says, let's not offend them, let's do what is right. And the right thing is to pay the tax. In other words, sometimes it may not be, it doesn't contradict scripture. You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ still obeyed. Still obeyed. It's important. And then, this is a very important principle sometimes. Remember, when we obey, it's a bit, let's turn to Matthew chapter 23. Some people will then ask the question, but you know what? What if the person hates the person in authority? Should he still obey and submit to that person in authority? That's a hard thing. That's a very, very hard thing. I've spoken to a couple who was hurt, okay, by some things in the past, many years ago, whereby he was hurt. And said, and he actually twisted scripture so that he don't have to submit to the authority. But notice what Jesus said, Matthew 23, verse 2 to 3. We're answering the question, should we submit to the person in authority? Even if we don't like the person or whatever that's maybe happened in Matthew 23, verse 2 to 3, saying the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Jesus started off with the first principle. The scribes and Pharisees, literally he's saying, are God's ordained religious leaders. The word Moses seat means the place of authority. And therefore, in verse number 3, or therefore whatsoever they bid you, observe. If they ask you to come on a certain day, do it. If they ask you to do this, do it. And then he said, but don't do it after their works. In other words, based on whatever has happened, let's say the Pharisees were hypocrites as far as God is concerned, but he still told the Jewish people still listen to them when they are executing their office. Does that make sense? So he said, come in this day, come on this day, do this, but don't imitate their lifestyle because they're hypocrites. They say, but they don't do. Okay? And that's an important principle. But you must be very clear, all right? You must be clear that person is a hypocrite before we actually make that judgment. Alright? But still, it is God who's... In the Lord Jesus Christ's example, he obeyed a man. God obeying man. Unheard of. But yet, Jesus gave us the example. In this same thing, we need to be very clear. Okay? Any questions there? Because humble submission involves us obeying authority. God's ordained authority. Okay? The point number 3, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 3. Humble submission to God the Father's will fulfills God's plan. Fulfills God's plan. In Matthew chapter 3, of course, you know that Jesus submitted himself to the baptism of John. But it's interesting because just now I read in John chapter 1, verse 33. John said, I knew him not. I don't know the Messiah. I don't know. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and I bear record that this is the Son of God. If Jesus, because Jesus submitted to John the Baptist, a baptism, the heavens opened, the Holy Ghost came down, John saw, because that was a sign that God the Father told him. If you see that happening, that is the Son of God. That is the Messiah. And that was how he found out. Humble submission to the Father's will fulfills God's plan. And initially, my point was fulfills God's plans for others. Because for John the Baptist, listen to this, John the Baptist wouldn't have known the Messiah unless the Messiah would come and be baptized by him. Yes? And he submitted to the righteousness. Jesus submitted to the obedience of righteous baptism. And as a result of that, John the Baptist realized, hey, this is the Messiah. Can I say this? Sometimes when we do certain things that we think is unnecessary, and we think that it may not be, well, can we do something else? Like the person said, let's do this. We may, in essence, be fulfilling God's plan for someone else. And this is an example of that. Whereby when Jesus submitted, John the Baptist was made aware this is the Messiah. He was able to preach. And later on, God made it very clear this is the Messiah. And then John was able to say, he must increase I must decrease. I just read a testimony of someone, and I believe this testimony fits this. I sometimes think that I might have been in darkness and despair. Until now, it had not been for the goodness of God in sending a snowstorm one Sunday morning. This is a person, I think we all know, is Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was relating in his testimony. He wanted to go. His heart was heavy with salvation, or rather heavy with sinning. And he wanted to go to church. But you know what would happen? Snowstorm. Cannot go. He then went on, and then suddenly he turned into what we call a primitive Methodist church. And he was very critical of the primitive Methodist church. He said that, you know, this primitive Methodist church sang so loudly that he gave you a headache. But you know what he said? I didn't care for the headache. I don't care if they sing until loud and give me, I'm here to seek salvation. So he went in. And he went in, guess what? The pastor not present. Why? Cannot come to church. Why? Because the snow was so thick, the pastor couldn't get in. There was something lacking there. There was something to fill. Something was not orderly in their church. What was that? No preacher. Okay? And so, guess what? One of the deacons stood up during message time and turned to a text that said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye the ends of the earth." And Spurgeon said, Spurgeon actually called him, he was a stupid man. When he said stupid man, there was no, like, when we call someone stupid, we really mean it with intention. During that time, he said stupid means he's not very educated. Does that make sense? And he said he couldn't even pronounce the words properly. And he said, I don't care about that. And Spurgeon was saying, there where I thought a glimpse of hope for me in the text. The preacher does it. The preacher actually begins very simply. He said, "My dear friends, this is a very simple text indeed." He says, "Look, now looking don't take a great deal of pains. It ain't lifting your foot or your finger. It's just look. Well, a man needn't go to university to learn to look. You may be the greatest fool, and yet you can look. A man needn't be worth a thousand pounds a year, and yet you can still look. Anyone can look. Even a child can look. But the text says, look unto me." And you know, all the deacon did was talk about the passage. You know, he wasn't educated. Just sitting there, pastor's not around, he just filled the pulpit. Guess what? Because of that particular time, at the end of the message, and this person was saying, the guy could only preach for 10 minutes. That's it. He got nothing left to say. But you know, at the end, because it was a small church, this deacon actually looked at Spurgeon and said, "Young man, you are very miserable." Spurgeon said, "Can you imagine?" Brother Rolando said, "Rolando, you are very miserable." He said, "What? What in the world are you talking about?" But you know, at that point, because it's such a small congregation, everyone knew everyone. The deacon looked at this young man and said, "You are miserable. You'll be miserable in this life and you will be miserable in the next unless you learn to look." Do you realize at that particular time, this deacon who wasn't even educated stood in the pulpit to fulfill what was the orderly program of the service? The Prince of Preachers was born. Charles Spurgeon was known to preach to over a million souls, and thousands upon thousands were converted simply because an uneducated Christian fulfilled the righteousness of just fulfilling what was necessary in the work of God. And today you and I are blessed. And so as a result of that, the Prince of Preachers was born. Now sometimes we may consider our inconvenience of not serving God. Humble submission to what is necessary can lead to the salvation of people that ultimately becomes great men of God. Many Sunday school teachers, I think it was D.L. Moody, who was chased by a Sunday school teacher. And D.L. Moody went on to shake two continents for God because a Sunday school teacher was so concerned for this boy that on Monday morning, I think it's en route to work, he actually went to look for and shed the word of God. Moody was saved. And as a result, God used him to shake two continents for God. Parents, don't underestimate your children. Pray for them. Do what you need to do to help them walk in the ways of righteousness. Children, follow your parents. And I believe all parents here love God. But parents, we need to fulfill all righteousness. You know what? Some righteousness we need to fulfill. We need to have a daily reading of Bible in your family. That's fulfilling righteousness in your family. Isn't it not right? Is it an important thing for you to daily teach the Word of God to your children? Deuteronomy 6. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. We need to have regular prayer times in your families. The Word of God must be taught. The Word of God must be in action in the way you speak, how you conduct yourself, so that your children can see. You know, even in the local church, we need to fulfill all righteousness. Doing the things that's necessary when an instruction is given, following it because it is the right thing to do. Point number four. Let's look back at Hebrews. I was not at Hebrews. Yeah, Hebrews, or Hebrews 11. Another one, humble submission to the Father's will requires faith. Because remember, Jesus pleased the Father. And then in Hebrews 11 verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In order to please God, we need to come believing in Him, right? That's what the text said. Without faith, you cannot please God. By the way, if you do anything without faith, you cannot please God. Full stop. If you don't consider even God in the analysis of your decision-making, you cannot please God. Without faith, without trusting in and being dependent on the wisdom and the Word of God, you cannot please God. That is, in essence, part of seeking God's will. When you, I'm very glad that the lesson on seeking God's will, that the Sunday school teacher wanted to bring up spiritual making decision first before our practicalities. Singaporeans are very pragmatic people. We always put the practical first. But you know what? We need to exalt spiritual making decision making. Why? Because it exalts God. It seeks God's glory. Okay. Humble submission to the Father requires faith. It must be a principle of faith. So in order to please God, we need to come believing in Him in everything that we humbly submit ourselves to. It must be a principle of faith. Otherwise, the Bible says it is impossible to please God. Now, how is that related to a humble submission? This is important. When we believe it is God's will for us to have the attitude of submission to authority, we will obey this principle by faith, knowing that it is the right thing for us to do, and therefore we please God. So when children, you obey your parents, you must have this thinking: when I obey my mom and dad, I'm obeying God. How many of you would dare to disobey God? I mean, if God is standing right here, okay? Let's pretend this is a throne, alright? The Lord Jesus is just sitting here. How many of you would dare to disobey Him? Put up your hand. Put down your hand. Put up your hand. We wouldn't dare, right? But you know what Jesus says? All power is given unto me, go ye therefore. You know what He's saying? All authority is given to me, I'm going to give it to those ordained people, fathers in the homes, pastors in the churches, governments. You are to, of course, do God's will. If a church that gets out of God's will, that church is cancelled out, God will remove the candlestick. Alright? We need to be very clear. It requires faith. So children, remember, every time you disobey God, from today onward, disobey your parents, you're disobeying God. You're disobeying God. It requires faith. Children, when you obey your parents, you're obeying God. And clearly from Hebrews 13:17, you don't have to. Then that when you obey the pastor, you're obeying God. I'm not God. I cannot be in that position. But you know what? If God gives you authority, you know, like just like the VBS camp master, the youth camp master, whatever the camp master tells us to do, we do it. Why? He has to be accountable to God for the camp. And we are merely people working together with Him. If God says He has to do this, we just do it. Why? It helps the smooth running and the righteousness of the camp. And I believe very much that God bless when everyone works together in submission to authority. Does it make sense? And it's very important. Okay, when you obey the pastor, you obey the youth leader, the Sunday school teachers, you're obeying God. When you obey the bosses, you're obeying God. That's what the Bible says, Ephesians 6, servants, obey your masters. Well, you only have one master who's in heaven. Well, you know what, Brother Johnny, you don't know my boss. I don't know your boss, but I know the bigger boss. The God tells you to obey. Because God will also judge that boss if he treats you unfairly. Amen? So it's not just one way. Servants obey. That's God's will. Masters, don't ill-treat your, servants. Why? Because I'm going to deal with you if you don't treat them. Alright? I've learned a few years ago, when God gives us an instruction, it's not to shortchange us. Some people say, no, You don't understand my boss. He's not. He will never listen to God. I had a supervisor who just wasn't taking care of me, because when I was a young therapist, he just didn't want to supervise me. You know what happened at the end? I just kept the long story short. I nearly failed my probation. Okay? My boss was... another boss, this is a supervisor. She has 22 years experience. Very experienced therapist. But me, new bird, don't know anything. And I was playing, literally playing. You know, when I faced my appraisal, my boss' first sentence was, "Your job is on the line." It's like, well, that means I got to pay $120,000 because I wasn't born. You know, at that time, it was very distressing, because this supervisor wasn't helping and all that. But thank God, the bigger boss, who's not a Christian too, was telling this supervisor 100% supervision of Johnny for the next 6 months, 3 months or 6 months, because that's the extension of a probation period. You know what happened to him? Her, in the end, well, she was asked to resign. She was asked to resign because there were certain things that the other bosses didn't like about. Not didn't lie about her, that certain things that she was doing that was against certain things in the department. When I was told my job was on the line, I said, "God, yes, I need to ask my mom to sell the house." Because the bond, it cost $120,000 to $150,000. But I made one decision. I said, "God, now on, whatever she tells me to do, I'm going to do it with all my heart. Do it well." Then I get her to sign. Because every time you do a thing, she will take it as hers. And how many of you had this kind of bosses? But you know what? At the end, my appraisal was bad. But you know, at the end, God, you know, this is just a personal testimony of how submission to what God tells us to do in accordance to what is the righteousness in the place, God can overrule. God can overrule. And in my life, He has. And I'm sure in some of your lives, He has too. But God overrules certain things. Christians submit and learn that. And by the way, for us in families, it's one thing to submit. I think wives and children will submit. But you know, for us fathers, we need to lead. We need to lead. We need to lead. Lead in the right way. You know how we lead? Not as a dictator, but as a humble servant of Christ who is willing to die for the family. How we need to lead. That's what Ephesians 5 tells us. We need to add your humble submission, because it requires faith. And finally, humble submission to God the Father brings God's approval. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, and we'll close. And Jesus, when he was baptized, the word baptized means immersed, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The coming of the dove is a sign for John to identify who the Messiah was. We know that. It is also the empowerment of the individual for ministry. That means when the Lord Jesus Christ was actually baptized, the Holy Spirit came as a sign of approval and empowerment, because later on in Matthew 4, verse 1, then was the Lord Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested. I can tell you, the moment you learn submission, God's Spirit and approval comes upon you to strengthen you, because it shows God's grace upon your life. Because man by nature is very proud. We will not listen. It requires God the Holy Spirit to help us to have that spirit of humble submission to what God wants us to do. God's will and way, because when we are in a humble submission to God's institution, God's will and way and work can be advanced. It will also bring God's explicit approval. God the Father said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In my prayer earlier, I said, "Lord, may you look down, Ambassador, and say, I'm pleased with Ambassador." You know what it requires? It requires us to have a humble, submissive attitude to God. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, I just read, "Likewise, ye younger..." Listening, those who are younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You know, it didn't stop there. "Yea, all of you, be in subject to one another, and be clothed with humility, because God resisteth the proud." You know, I don't know about you. I would never want to get in God's bad books. When God, because the Bible says God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. I give you this and I'll finish. There was a truly, this is illustrated, a truly humble man is hard to find. Yet God delights to honor such selfless people. There was a black man who was walking in an exclusive section of town in America one time when there was a wealthy white woman. There was the Negro and the whites and all that. And so this wealthy white woman saw this Negro black man walking down the street. And this wealthy white woman told this black man, man, would you like to earn some dollars? Help me chop wood. And so this wealthy, black man said, okay, fine. But little did this white woman know who was him, because after the black man chopped the wood, he carried it back to her house and then stacked it up for her. Her daughter recognized this to be none other than Professor Washington, the founder of the Tuskegee Institute, a special university special for colored people in the 1800s. Today it's called the Tuskegee University. And she didn't know in Alabama. She didn't know, and she was very, very paisa. How can you ask a professor to chop wood for you? But you know what? The next day, this embarrassed woman went to Mr. Washington in his office at the institute and apologized profusely. You know, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were a professor and things like that. You know what Mr. Washington said? He said, it's perfectly all right, ma'am. He replied, occasionally I enjoy a little manual labor. But you know what he said, which really touched this woman? And he said, and sometimes it's okay to do things for a friend. For a friend. You know, the humble, which then, you know, this lady then went on to say, sir, he shook his hand warmly and assured him that his meek and gracious attitude had endeared him and his work to her heart. Not long, because she's wealthy, right, she get all her friends, hey, come on, must give money to this university, huh? She began to gather people to support the cause of educating the black people because of Michelle Washington's humble attitude. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. May I say, as pastor, all of us are in this. Jesus wants us to have a humble attitude. That is His will. That's the only thing He said. In Matthew 11, verse 28-30, learn of me because I am meek and lowly in heart. When we have that meek and quiet spirit of allowing God the Holy Spirit teach us, and then, if Uncle Roland asked me to chop garlic, I'll chop garlic. I see Brother Rolando, you should see how he chop garlic. He is a very precision engineer, okay? His garlic, when he chop, must be nice. And he finished the chop. Brother Rolando helped us in the UK as well. All the people who help, you know, in different things, like doing the camp books, chopping. Why do you think the campers got a bit fatter in the picture? You know what? And they had to labor hard, chopping the little things, and everything was done so that the righteousness in that place can be fulfilled. Now, the righteousness simply means what God intends to happen. God's will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Christian, let's have a humble attitude before the Lord. Let's learn to submit both to God and to one another according to the scriptures. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time of learning your word. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the most humble person. Yes, we know Moses was mentioned as the meekest on earth. The Son of God has every reason to be proud and exalted. Yes, you are, Lord. But yet in the scriptures, we are taught a spirit that is contrary to this world. A spirit that says, the world says, let's be proud. Lord Jesus says, no, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Lord, it is your will for us to have a humble, submissive attitude to your will. Forgive us the pride of our lives, Lord. Many of our decisions, we don't even consider the Son of God. We don't even consider your precious word, which is so precious. Many of our interactions, Lord, we don't even consider of esteeming others better than ourselves. Forgive us, Lord. Because how can we become like you if we esteem ourselves better than others? Father, every one of us are in this category of needing you to humble us, teaching us what it means to walk like Christ. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. Can I just ask, Even if I ask this invitation, I'm not better than you. I need God's grace too, but you know, I'd like as pastor to pray for you. Anyone who says, Rajani, pray for me that God will give me that meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great prize, that I may please God the Father in all that I do. In my interaction with God and interaction with men, I will be humble. I will learn to submit. Of course, there's a place for friendly Christian discussion, but you know, at the end of the day, that we're willing to obey and submit. Is there anyone who will say, Brother Johnny, pray for me? I see that hand. Is there anyone else? I see hands. I see those hands. Is there anyone else? Let's learn from the example of Jesus, who submitted to all righteousness, even though he didn't have to. But he gave us an example to follow. Is there anyone else? Lord, humble me. Is there anyone else? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the brothers and sisters who put up their hands. Lord, thank you for the joy that we can have, that we can walk in your will. I pray, Father, that every one of them will put up their hand, Lord, from now on, will continuously live a life of continual pleasing the Father by humble submission. And that those who are over them, Lord, will learn also the principle of genuine love and leadership, that we might be able to lead and guide in a way that will be honoring to you. Father, on behalf of Ambassador Baptist Church, we ask your forgiveness. Many times we fail in this area. First to you, Lord. Secondly, to our individual lives as we interact with you in our daily devotions, and we sometimes do not do what you tell us to do. We confess our sin. But even then, as a church, Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to bind us together. This attitude of your humble submission to you and to each other, Lord, will prevail. Lord, we need your help. We need your help to give us the power and Holy Spirit, because souls are dying, going to hell. And it's your people, if we do not change in our hearts, Lord, there's just no way you can use us. And so, Lord, we come to you humbly seeking your grace and your mercy and your power, that we continually step in the light, that we might walk with you. Thank you for the honesty of these brethren. Continue to strengthen them, Lord, that they will follow the example of Christ in pleasing the Father by being willing to be submitted to you, and to what your word has to say, Lord. And to any human authority you place over us, that we might honor you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we just sing the closing hymn, I Surrender All. We just sing the last stanza, and maybe a genuine prayer from our hearts of humble submission. Stanza 1 and stanza 4.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender.
Stanza 4.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give thyself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender.
Amen. Let's close in word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we commit our heart into your hands. We commit our souls. We commit, Lord, everyone that's here into your hands. We know, Father, that we are here for a purpose. And Lord, through the life of Christ, we have seen, Father, the example of humble submission. And Lord, if there are certain things in our lives that we need to take note of, we pray that thy Holy Spirit will be ever so gentle but firm with us. Lord, we don't want to live a playful Christian life. We want to live a serious life that will honor you, that will be effective and useful, Lord, for the salvation of others. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I pray you bless everyone who has given their hearts to you. And I pray for those who might be struggling in submission, I pray, because of perhaps things that have happened or pride. Lord, help us not to be proud. Help us to be humble before you. Because all sin is saved by the grace of God. Lord, we have no place or reason to be proud except to acknowledge that, God, you have saved us. So, Lord, we pray for your blessings to be upon everyone. We ask you, Lord, to teach us to be more and more like Christ each day. We'll thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you're seated, you're dismissed. Please say hi to our visitors today. All right, remember there's a Filipino service, all right? So, you start about what time? Oh, okay.